Getting about 30 thoughts on recovery. When I get 350, I'm going to put them, Patty's going to make a little book of them. And then she can do that with her cross stitch. So I record the meetings for those who are new, and it's Wednesday night, Experience the Big Book. And for those listening on the podcast, this Saturday and Sunday, I won't be at the meeting. I'm getting my knee cleaned out. I've got scar tissue after the meniscus, and it bothers me. If any of you notice, when I have to get up and give birthdays, it's like an old geezer getting up out of the chair. And I'm active, and I'm in good health, so he says he can fix it. I'm a little anxious, but I gave it to God. I hope to be back next Wednesday. You can walk on it, but you got to be real careful, because if you do too much, then it gets sore. You know how alcoholics are. Tonight we're looking at step 10 again. I did a thing on the spiritual axiom. I wrote a thought on recovery. Did anybody read it at all? No one on the site? Anyway, it's good. And somebody, a nice man, made a comment on it. I want you to read it about, begs to differ about that spiritual axiom. And I was thinking about it a lot and disturbed as Bill Wilson wrote it. And remember, this is a spiritual axiom for alcoholics. And he wrote it for us, and it's a spiritual axiom, a spiritual truth for alcoholics, that if we're disturbed, and the word disturbed to him means that you're bothered, you're angry, you're upset, there's something wrong with us. So the question becomes, are there any justified situations that you should be angry? Well, if you go to any discussion meetings, you'll hear those. And then, but we learn, why do we do the fourth step? Because resentment's going to kill me. It's going to block me from God. It's fatal to alcoholics. And it doesn't really hurt the other person. It hurts us. And he made some excellent points that if people didn't get, quote, disturbed by certain things that are going on, they wouldn't take actions, which is true. But the spiritual axiom for us is that when I'm disturbed as an alcoholic, I can't take the right action. And that if I'm disturbed, I have to get back to God and have God get me undisturbed and then look at the situation. And then I can take action that's positive. Remember, we talked about being recovered as you react in a fit spiritual condition. If I'm disturbed and I'm angry, I can't react in a fit spiritual condition. I'll react on my self-centered character, and I won't take constructive action. So being disturbed is unacceptable to us because we're bothered. And if we're bothered, then we don't like what we're seeing, and maybe it should be justified or not, but the point is that when we do the fourth step, we understand that we're always wrong if we get angry, and we have to forgive everyone, but we don't have to excuse them. And we're even wrong if it's, quote, a justified anger by staying angry because we didn't forgive. Is this people getting this? And so it says on the end of, and we're going to read it tonight, that we're going to learn tolerance, pity, and goodwill towards all men, even our enemies. And we want to practice a way of living, of spiritual way of life connected to God, right? And I say, God, forgive me for everything I've done, and I'm going to forgive everybody. But if I don't forgive everybody, then I'm holding on to a resentment, and then I'm blocked from God's forgiveness. And so justified anger, he says, is best left to those more capable of handling it. Now, if I have a situation that's happened that's wrong to me, and I had that happen, I had to take constructive action and forgive that person, and it all worked out, and I don't even think about that person anymore. Not part of my life. And the action was bad, but I dealt with it in a positive fashion. I had to work steps and get close to God, and then I forgave that person, and it worked out. And so this idea about being disturbed, and he used the word, because he's really saying it's a spiritual axiom that if I'm separated from God, there's something wrong with me. It's not God's problem. We're the ones who separate. And so we don't want to be separated from God. And the 10th step is really about our relationship with our Creator. Now, the whole point of the big book is to have a relationship with your Creator. And that's the only relationship that matters. Remember, it says, make sure, the last thing they write on page 164, before they end, the 164, which we'll get to in a vision for you, is the last thing they wrote on the directions of recovery. And in the second to last paragraph, they say, see to it that your relationship with him is right. My relationship has to be right with God first, and then I can look at the situation. And that's really what the serenity prayer tells me, that I have to have the serenity from God when I'm disturbed, get me undisturbed and serene, and then look at the situation. And like I was doing the fourth step with someone tonight, and you can look at things where people are angry, and someone else can help you see it differently. And so we're trying to have a right relationship with God all the time. Now, the problem is he gave me free will, and he gave me the ability to separate from him and to go my own way, and he won't stop that. But he did something that's very clever of God. When we separate from him, we get disturbed. Get the picture? And we don't like being disturbed after a while. Now, we used to love it. I don't know about you, but get right in there, you know. Tell them what's wrong with them and set them right, and that never worked. Never worked at home. It never worked at work. And so when we're disturbed, we're separated from God. And the whole point of the 10th step is to stay connected to God. And we're going to read from tonight from The Steps We Took by Joe McHugh. And I really, I owe so much to Joe McHugh, this little man. This is the book. You can get it on Amazon. I've bought about 100 of these, so I don't mind copying it and passing it out. People bought them. He started the Joe and Charlie. He was the original Joe. And he made this big book come alive. Now, we've studied Step 10 in the book in detail. We spent 3 meetings on it. And I want you all to turn to page 84 while we look at what Joe says about Step 10, but he really makes it come alive. And the way he had such a great way of looking at things so simply. I think him and Charlie and Sandy Beach, they just had a way of making things that look complicated very simple. And so he says, continuing to grow. Remember, Step 10 is to continue to take personal inventory. Inventory my personality, inventory how I am being and thinking, and then to set right any new mistakes in my thinking. I think the mistakes they're talking about is not, sure, make amends or actions, but they're talking about your thinking. When your thinking's wrong, what happens? The results are no good. And then the other thing I thought about the big book, it's just my opinion, I only speak for myself, I don't speak for AA or anybody else, but the big book is really, we talk a lot about what we do the next right thing, right? You've heard that, what we do. But the big book is really about being. How do you be? How do you be? Are you being loving? Are you being patient, tolerant, and kind? And if you be this way, then the resultant actions will be good. And what do we bring into every situation? Am I bringing love into it? If I'm bringing love in every situation, nothing would disturb me. But if I'm not, I get disturbed. So the big book on the prayer for fear, it says, God, remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then if I be the creature God created, if I have the personality characteristics that he gave me, then everything will fall into place. Now, I don't have our spiritual checklist with me. I've given them all out. But we have the left and right-hand column. You all know that. And the right-hand column is how God wants me to be. And this is how I be when I'm separated from God. And if I be the way I am separated from God, I get disturbed a lot. But if I be the way God created me, then my life is so much better. And so that's what we're going to look at in the 10th step. I hope some of this makes sense, because it says we're going to continue to grow. Now, step 10 is a step that you work when? Do you work it when? In the morning? The evening? Do you work it once a month? All day long. Because we live all day long when we're awake. And we want to practice a way of living that's going to be useful to myself and others and God. And I want to be connected to God all the time. So when do you stop doing step 10? Well, when you're drinking. You stop practicing step 10 when you're angry all the time. Have you ever met anybody in AA who was angry? You haven't been to enough meetings. stop practicing step 10 when you die. And so it says continuing to grow. And what am I going to grow? I'm going to grow in understanding and effectiveness of God's will for me. And I'm going to grow an understanding and effectiveness of how to live with God in the world of the Spirit. Now, if I'm in the world of the Spirit, I won't get disturbed. I'll see things, and I'll ask God, how do I react to this? But if I'm not in the world of the Spirit, I get disturbed by a lot of things. Now, there's some really bad things that happen in the world, and I'm not saying that they're not wrong, but how do we react to them? And for the alcoholic, anger is the dubious luxury of normal men. For the alcoholic, it's poison. And it says we have to be free of anger. It doesn't say you can't get angry, but you want to be free of it. So you could get angry about something you see. It's wrong. But then you have to stop and say, okay, God, remove my anger. How can I look at this in a positive way? How can I react to this appropriately? And so when we do that, our lives are better. At least that's the way it works for me. I can't speak for anybody else. So it says, continue to grow. Love, courage, tolerance, and patience. Anybody think those are good things?
Yeah.
It says, I'm on the handout, Jimmy. And we're going to go from the handout, and he's going to talk about page 84 in the first page of the handout. So I wanted you to have it out. It says, these are powerful things that we can use in our lives. Did anybody use love, courage, tolerance, and patience all the time before you came in here?
No. Sure.
Momentarily, only if it was going to help me get what I wanted. Right? Ed said yes. But these are the things that God gave me. And if I have courage, then I won't have fear, right? If I have love, I won't be angry. If I'm tolerant, I won't be judgmental. If I'm patient, I'm going to be considerate. And these step 10 is there to nurture these things. I want to practice love, courage, tolerance, patience. Ryan's not here. He got married Sunday, and he's doing well. I talked to him when he's on his honeymoon, but we had this LPTKCC, and we started that about 3.5 years ago. Love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consideration, compassion. So whenever we're getting disturbed, he'd go to me, LPTKCC, and if he was getting bothered by somebody, ex-wife, for instance, I said, LPTKCC. If we're getting bothered, that's the mantra. Because if I stop and say the mantra, then I'm pausing. And I'm stopping my reaction, and I'm getting undisturbed. And so it's unlimited. And as we practice them, we continue to grow. So step 10 is continue to take personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. Now, for the years that I didn't work the steps, I said, well, I'll just go around all day and say I'm wrong. Well, that won't change me. It won't make my life better. The wrong that I see it, I admit to myself, I'm wrong. I admit to God. I admit to another person. I'm basically doing step 4 and 5 all day long. And it says, the key to understanding the 10th step, and I'm reading from the handout, is continued. After we have finished, now if you're new here, and you're coming to this meeting, you say, well, gee, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. What the hell is he talking about? What about alcohol and not drinking? Well, not drinking is the result of having God in your life. And a relationship with God and being undisturbed. And we drink because we have no relationship with God. We're separated and we're disturbed all the time. And when alcoholics get disturbed, they drink or they use whatever it is that will make them undisturbed. Now, when we get disturbed, we want to use the steps and get back to God, and then we don't have to drink anymore. So we don't talk about alcohol really after page 45 in the big book. And when we're in step 2. And we want a relationship with God. And if we have a relationship with God is right, he will give us the power not to drink. So we had some new people tonight. It's early in their recovery. if you want to stay sober and not drink, you need to do this deal. And he's going to talk really about what the deal is. He says, after working the first 9 steps, there's really nothing new in step 10, but it's a continuous working of what we've already done. If we go back through the steps, we see that our personality change occurs after step 4. Now, if you're new, you say, well, why do I need a personality change? I love my personality. Well, good. That got you here. And, keep your personality, and nothing's going to change, because then you're going to react, and you're going to get angry and fearful and do harmful things. We want to change our personality to the personality that God gave us. And then when we react to life, it'll be different. Anybody get upset all the time before they came in here? Yeah. Angry? Mm-hmm. Bothered?
Yeah.
Yep, and it's because we were seeing things our way. Now, I heard a good thing today. Nothing's original. You know, I've talked a lot about the ego and our instincts of life and how we all have instincts of life. And we want to make our lives fulfilled when we come in here by satisfying these instincts. And we have instincts for sex and relationships. We have instincts for material. We want to have accommodations, our ambitions, our the things. We have ambitions socially, companionship, what we want from people, our self-esteem, our pride. Now, I thought about it. We talk a lot about the bondage of self. Anybody heard that? Say the prayer. You like that prayer, don't you? Well, what I'm really in bondage to is what I think I need to fulfill my sex instinct. What I need, I'm in hostage to what I think I need to be okay materially, emotionally. I'm hostage to what I think I need to feel good about myself. And it's dependent on other people. Does this works for me? I understand this. And if I'm in hostage to it, it has power over me. And I need to be free of that. I need to break free of being bound to all of that and just being of service to God and others. And so we're going to change the whole way we see things. And it says, and we go back through the steps, the first personality change occurs after step 4. It says, we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards all men, comma, even our enemies. This is the big book, page 70, at the end of the, it's one of the 4-step promises. Now notice it doesn't say, I have tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards all people I like. It doesn't say, I have tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards most of the people. It says all, because when we do our resentments, we forgive all, right? And it says even our enemies. It doesn't matter what people have done to us. We have to have love, patience, tolerance. And so, if you've done your 4-step, you know what I'm talking about. You change the whole way you see everybody you resented when you your whole life. So we get a lot of growth after step 5 because we go through this with another human being, and they help us see the exact nature of our wrongs. And the exact nature of my wrongs are my character defects. Now, my character defects were the opposite of love, courage, tolerance, and patience. I was angry, fearful, intolerant, and impatient, and judgmental. Anybody judgmental when they come in here? Anybody judging me right now? Forgive me. Say the prayers. That was a joke, by the way. And then we get a lot of growth in step 9 when we do our amends. And he says all the growth. Now, the next 4 or 5 the next 2 pages is really good, and that's all we're going to cover tonight, and then we'll talk about it. It says all the growth comes through the action steps. And we want to grow, right? We want to change. We don't get any real growth out of identifying the problem in step 1. Identifying the problem tells me what the problem is, and then I have to make a decision what I'm going to do about it. And if I need to see the truth about the problem to be able to take any action. And finding the solution, step 2, is it can't be me. I can't fix myself. Anybody try it? Doesn't work. I can't fix myself today. If I'm getting disturbed and bothered, I can't say, oh, I say, God, please save me from being angry. Help me see this differently. I go right to God all the time. Step 3 is a decision. Anybody make a decision in step 3 that we're going to turn our life and will over to God? Anybody like that? It's a good idea. Why? Because when I turned my life and will over to me, I made a mess of it. and I was playing God. Anybody else do that? And so I don't get any growth from the decision, but I've made a decision. Now, decisions are only useful if you do what? If you take action. No action, the decisions are worthless. I'm sure there's somebody at home that said, gee, I would decide to go to that meeting tonight. But they're home. And so I have to follow through. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. And the decision is based, really, I don't make the decision out of choice. I didn't decide to turn my life and will over the care of God. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know, this is a good idea. For me, I was surrendered. I was so defeated by my self-centeredness that I was surrendered by it. I had no choice. I had to give up. And I had to seek another way. I didn't have a choice, and I had to unconditionally surrender that. And a lot of times we talk about surrender like it's voluntary. Nobody came here one day and woke up and said, gee, life's bad, I'm going to AA. We were beaten. We were beaten. And that's why God gave alcoholics these steps, because only people really beat and really surrendered by their self-will are going to do this. So alcohol surrenders us. We think we make a choice to come in the AA. We think we choose to do the third step, but we do it because we have no other choice. And that's true surrender. And it says all the real growth comes from steps 4 through 9. So if we look at step 10, we see it's a continuous practicing of steps 4 through 9 on a daily basis. There's no way we can enter a program like this and remain the same. We don't want to be the same, do we? Mm-hmm. We want to be different. We want to react differently, don't we? Mm-hmm. We don't want to react and then drink, do we? That didn't work. So we need to learn how to react differently. Now, here's the problem I see for myself and others. We think we're going to make ourselves react better. We're going to do better. Anybody try to do better? I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to do better. Well, 10 o'clock, you're pissed off at them. They're pissed off at you. We cannot fix ourselves. So I would try that. That didn't work. So I have to try this. And it says the big book tells us to continue watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And it says this on page 84 on that second paragraph, which I went through and did a whole meeting on it. And why do we want to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear? That's when we're getting disturbed. We're going to watch for when we're starting to get disturbed, when we're getting angry, when we're getting self-centered, we have dishonest thoughts and motives, and we're afraid. Does this see the point? And we want to watch for that. And it says, we have discovered those things in step 4, right? That's what we inventory in step 4 is our fear, our anger, and our conduct. And we find that our selfishness, society, resentment, and fear caused all the problems in our lives. And so we watch for that. It says when we find them, we discuss them with another person, which is step 5. And here in this paragraph, he goes through this. He says, continue to watch for selfishness, society, resentment, and fear. He say when these crop up, not if, when. He knows we're human beings. It's going to come, our self-centeredness is going to come up when it does. Now, crop doesn't mean harvest. If we, it says when these are harvested, that means when I'm in full-blown rage. Anybody ever have that? Really afraid, really pissed off, really disturbed. Well, that's too late. As soon as they start to crop up, as soon as I see myself starting to get bothered, getting a little angry, getting a little afraid, you know what I'm talking about. As soon as you see that, we want to say, God, remove them. The fact that you ask God to remove them is doing step 6 and 7, that you want God to take away these character defects. And I guarantee if you do it, it happens. And so you're actually pausing when you're getting disturbed. You're seeing these things come up. You ask God to remove them at once. And then it helps to talk to another human being. And that's what it says in the big book. We ask God at once. We discuss them with someone immediately. Why? Because oftentimes the person can look at what we're seeing and tell us how it's wrong. We're seeing it wrong. And if I'm disturbed, I'm always seeing things wrong. I'm not seeing things the way God sees them. And so I have to stop. It says, we ask God to remove them. I'm back on the handout, which is step 6 and 7. And if we've harmed anybody, we make amends, which is step 9. So really, step 10 is a continuous practicing of steps 4 through 9 on a daily basis. And I have this on, I did a whole podcast on this, Step 10. I wrote Living in the World of the Spirit, because this is how we are supposed to live each day. And if you're interested, you'll listen to it. It says, also in the paragraph in the big book, it says, we turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So whenever we're bothered, we turn away from ourselves and we turn to someone else. We're turning away from our self-centeredness. We're turning to God, to other people. And it says, love and tolerance of others is our code. Now, a code means it's something you live by all the time. And loving all the time, tolerant all the time. Anybody do that? No. But we know we should do that. So when we start getting disturbed and bothered, we see the selfishness, anxiety, resentment, fear start to crop up. I say, God, please remove it. Sometimes I have to call somebody. I call Mark. I got a guy, Bruce, I call in Minnesota. God bless them. And they'll help me see it differently. Just calling somebody and getting it out breaks the cycle. And then if I have to, I make amends. And then Sandy Beach says, besides amends, we need to forgive. And I really agree with that. So I either make amends or I forgive. And by doing that, I'm free of whatever was disturbing me. It has no power over me anymore. And I can turn my thoughts to someone I can help. So try to study this paragraph. Listen to the podcast if you weren't here. In fact, we didn't have a big crowd that night. I don't know. KU might have been playing or something. I don't know. So probably pissed some people off. I am funny.
Someone got me.
The nurses used to say, you're not that funny, doctor. I said, I didn't ask you. All right, stop it. All right. It says, as we practice these steps over and over, over and over, how do you learn something? You don't learn by reading it once. Repetition. I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy. And God gave me some gifts, but I had to study all the time, go over and over and over. Now, it seems like I know what I'm talking about at these meetings. Well, I've been listening to talks for 10 years. You know, I've been doing this a long time. Repetition is how you learn. And it says, the more we do this, we see more and more character defects. We see them. We start seeing our judgment crop up. Anybody have judgment? Anybody have envy, jealousy, rage, intolerance? Inconsideration, and you see how people bother you. You see how it comes up, how so many people bother you. Anybody have people bother them? Anybody have any today? Well, if you're bothered, it's because you're seeing them. You're judging them. And why are you judging them? So you'll feel better than them. And it's a form of building our self-esteem by judging everybody. But we could just say, you know, they're just God's kids, LPT, KCC. And then you're not bothered, and they look better as soon as you say that. They're not as bad as you think they are. And it says, we see more and more character defects, and we discuss them with someone else. In step five, we learn more and more. As we ask God to remove them, they will become less and less. As we make amends with other people, our relationships with other people will grow better. Then I think I'm going to go over and not have a lot of discussion tonight. Is that okay? Good. Thank you. When we finish step nine, we get the promises. For all intents and purposes, we have recovered. And I talked about that. We're in the world of the Spirit. And when we're in the world of the Spirit, God has given us the ability to react normally to alcohol. It says we have put our lives in order. Where does it say that that's important in the big book? Does anybody remember? It says on page 77, by Shane, yeah. We are trying to put our lives in order. But this, and it says, what is our purpose? See, it's in the big book. It tells what it says. At the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. And it says, my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. So step 10 is how you're fitting yourself to be of maximum service to God and others all day long. And so these are tools that you're going to use all the time. Now, the big book talks about the three dimensions of life, the spirit, the mind, and the body. Remember, it says we're spiritually ill, and when we correct the spiritual malady, we become straightened out mentally and physically. And so we go to God first, and then he's going to talk about that. It gives us a design for living. Why is the Big Book design of living good for everybody in AA? Because it's not your design for living. Mm-hmm. And my design of living got me. And I don't want to follow my design of living anymore. It didn't work. Remember, we need a new game plan. We lost the game of life when we came here. We had a game plan. It didn't work. So we're going to get a new one. It says, most people don't understand that life does have a design. First, we have a spiritual life, and we can live it in harmony or disharmony. And it's sad, but most people live with it in disharmony. What does he mean by your spiritual life, you're in disharmony? You're playing God. You're back in self. And we don't want that. We said in step three that we had to stop playing God, right? Does anybody know why we had to stop playing God? It didn't work. It says it didn't work. And why won't it work? Now, it took me a while. I'm so smart. It took me a while to realize why it didn't work playing God. And it dawned on me one day, I'm not God. It seems so simple. But if you're not God and you're playing God, there's something really wrong in that place. And in fact, if people took a video of our minds before we came in here, they would arrest us. And it says, it's sad, but most people live in disharmony. Many people go and do what they want to do and then listen to their inner direction. Now look at that. See if that's true. We do what we want to do and then we listen to what God's decision. And we usually feel uneasy, we feel guilty, we may feel at unease with what we're doing, rather than listening to it and then deciding what to do. So the Big Book and the program is to listen to God first and then do what His vision is for you, rather than doing what we want and saying, well, gee, that didn't work. And then you say, I took it over. Anybody here, you took it over? You didn't take it over. You just kept it. You never gave it over. We all have a mind. Now, he says whether we always act like it or not. And he says this is the second dimension of our lives. So the first three steps put us in order with God, spiritually. And in our mind, we realize today that mental health is based on our spiritual health. Now, if I'm spiritually separated from God, what happens? All my character defects are triggered, right? And then we inventory that in step four. Step four is where we inventory my life separated from God. My life living Michael's game plan of life and what it looked like. And it's not pretty. And when we say physical lives, we're not talking about our physical bodies, but the physical world. How we relate to the world, how we related to people. It says we are in conflict with everybody and everyone. Anybody relate to that? And so that's how we are if we're not spiritually connected to God. Then our minds being directed by me, and then my actions are the result. And it says, we'll end here. Jesus said, so life emanates from the inside out, from the spiritual to the mental to the physical. Every great thinker, every great religion that says this. So what we talk in AA is you come in here and your lives are a mess. Anybody have a life that's a mess? And when you come in and you listen to new people, they'll give you 100 reasons why their lives are a mess. It has nothing to do with them, of course. They always have a list of everybody who brought them here. But their lives were a mess. Why? Because they were living self-centered lives separated from God. And so what you do in AA is you look at your life out there. You start out there, and then you inventory it, and you come back to how the problem was in here and was the way you were practicing your character defects, and you weren't being the person God created. So step four is really starting out here and then going back to find the exact nature of my wrongs. My wrongs were my fear, my anger, and my harmful conduct. But it all emanated from being self-centered. And when I'm self-centered, I have character defects. I'm judgmental, I'm intolerant, I'm impatient, I'm angry, I'm fearful, I'm inconsiderate. And so it's Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the center. Anybody love God? Sure. And we want God to be the center of my life. And He's inside of me. He's already there. And He says, with all thy mind, that's the second part, the mental, and thy neighbors thyself, the world. And so that's what we're trying to practice. So in steps one through three are the heart. And it's really putting our lives in order with God. And then we're connected spiritually. Then we start from there. And then it says 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the mind, And then steps in 8 deal with our neighbors, our relationship with others. So if you've done steps 1 through 9, you've kind of started to put your life in order. And you're in correct balance. Now, you've done all that work. You have to put it to use every day in step 10. You see how step 10 is related? And it's how I'm going to put my life in order every day, starting with my spiritual, then that'll connect with my thinking, and that'll be my actions. And so when they say, are you disturbed? Is something wrong with you? When you're disturbed, you didn't start spiritually with God. You didn't have the characteristics in your mind and the action, you're disturbed. Does this make sense? And so we don't want to do that anymore. And step 10 is how we look at that all day. And we'll go and we'll look. We'll start with our steps work along the design knowledge. And so if you can bring this, put in your big book and bring it with you next week. And we're going to go through this. This is great stuff in the steps we took. So I left some time to open it up, and I hope this was helpful. Every time I go through this, it helps me. It tells me what I need to do every day. So you know what the result of step 10 is? If you have a bad day, you can't blame anybody. It's not them anymore, it's you. And then you have the responsibility to change yourself. We can change with God's help, right? So we can change, and we don't have to have a bad day. Somebody said, have a good day. Well, my good day is only up to me. Every day should be a good day. Doesn't mean things don't happen that aren't good or bad, but you don't have to be disturbed by them. So.
Too, that one particular, it's happened more than